Good morning. It's a drizzly Monday morning here on the north coast of Oregon, wherever you are. I hope somebody's got sunshine, Linda Perkins.
Yes.
We'll just hope they do in, in direct opposition of what's going on here. It's 9:30. It's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm joined by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. I'm thinking of changing my name to Flora Landers. Instead of Laura Flanders. It kind of fit if we were right after her.
Yeah, it would be great.
Yeah. Well, I don't have my apron on.
You know.
You know why?
No.
I forgot. Oh, my gosh. But you know what? I thought I'd come to work today.
And I can't tell you how grateful I am. And I know I'm speaking for everyone who was tuned in last time.
Just forgot. La, 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 la. And Marianne texted me a bunch, but I was cutting onions, so I didn't look at my phone. I didn't want to get onion on my phone.
I'm suffering from a mild case of PTSD from last time. And so I'm like, I email Linda a day before, and then early in the morning on Monday, on Food Talk Monday, I'm like, text, wait 15 minutes, text, wait 15 minutes, text the fingers crossed icon. Oh my gosh. Anyway, I'm so happy to see you.
Oh, so sorry about last week. Hey, can you get fired from a volunteer job?
You know, I think you can, actually.
I came in super early so that nobody'd be like waiting at the door. Turn yourself around.
You know, the locks have not been changed.
No, we're okay.
We're okay. Oh my gosh. I wonder, though, because I haven't talked to you for a little while, what you've been cooking.
Let's see. You know, because there's a lot of elderly vegetables from all the summer vegetables that are left over. And then there's new, you know, fall vegetables. I've been doing a lot of stir fries. And I know that I go through a lot of periods in my life where I do a lot of stir fries. I really like them. But that's what I've been doing, because if I have green beans and squash, you know, I can stir fry them both. And maybe you're not supposed to, but I like them, you know.
Yeah. No, I think that you
can. There's not a lot of stir fry squash recipes in China, but
there should be.
Yeah.
There are here. We make up for that.
Yeah.
I think that stir fry is anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an excuse to use up what is going.
Yeah. And it's not fancy or even really worthy of talking on the radio. But I thought I would share with you, I have like a super basic thing that if I can't even think, you know, that I do. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and there's
yeah.
always other things that can go in there. But I always use soy sauce and garlic and ginger, scallions and chili oil. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
And so if I was going to make a stir fry with, like, you know, a pound and a half of chicken, I would just make up a little bowl of, I use about like three tablespoons of soy, maybe two cloves of garlic. 1 to 2 tablespoons of ginger. And, you know, I always keep ginger and garlic in my freezer frozen in Ziploc bags, so I can just break off what I think is about a tablespoon and a half.
Yeah.
And then I cut up 3 scallions. If I don't have scallions, I'll cut up a little bit of onion. And then just like maybe a teaspoon of chili oil or sambal, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll add maybe half a cup of water to that. So I stir fry my meat separately. I stir fry it pretty hot because I like it a little browned. I don't do the velvet thing. I like it a little browned. I like that taste. And then, so I want it to brown before it gets tough, you know, so
uh-huh.
I do it really hot. And then I stir fry my vegetables. I put them together. I put that sauce in the pan. I usually don't even break out my wok for that. And then I put that in the pan. And then I let it, cook, simmer for 2 or 3 minutes. Excuse me. And then I make a little slurry in that same bowl of 1 tablespoon of cornstarch and 2 tablespoons of water.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. And then I just put that in there. And then it doesn't turn like super goopy, but it's
right.
a little thick. And that's always seems to be the right amount for me, you know, just 1 tablespoon of cornstarch and 2 tablespoons of water. And there's so many things, you know, you can add. You can add Shaoxing wine. You can add any fancy or exotic soy sauces.
Yeah.
And
oyster sauce.
Yes. And or a little bit of hoisin. I love black bean and garlic. I love that. It's really salty, though, so you got to kind of back off the soy sauce if you use that.
Yeah.
And but just that base thing is what I pretty much always use, and then add things to it.
Everything tastes good with that too. I mean, no matter what you put in your stir fry.
Yeah.
That sauce is very complimentary to almost everything.
Yeah, it could be wheat barrier cloth. Ginger. A little chewy.
But the sauce can go right through, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But I was at the store the other day. I was at, I think, a restaurant supply store. And it's been quite a while now that there's been some weird shortage of sriracha, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or sriracha sauce.
Yeah.
And so now, and I didn't realize it also includes sambal. And sambal olek, O-L-E-K, that's my, I just love it. It's just, it's not a real oily chili sauce. It's like a, and it's not a paste where it's really like tomato pasty. It's just between tomato paste and sauce, but it's a chili flavored thing, and I just love it. And when, and a lot of restaurants use it. When you go to a restaurant supply store, there's a lot of things that you just find, you know, in regular jars, but this thing comes in small, medium, large, jumbo, and thunder, you know, like a 5-gallon drum of the stuff. But there's none. There's none to be found anywhere.
Oh, I did not know that.
I didn't know the shortage extended to that. I didn't know.
I've been feeling really lucky that I bought the gigantic bottle of sriracha a while back, and I still have half of it.
Yeah,
so you're lucky. I have not panicked yet, but I also have sambal in a jar of sambal in the fridge, and also harissa is another one that is a good way to add some spice. There's actually lots of ways, and chili crisp.
Yeah, yeah. So the other day when I didn't have any sriracha, I had a chili crisp, so I just added a teaspoon of that, and that was actually really good because I use it like a condiment normally.
Yeah.
But I'm going to use it in cooking now because, and I think before we didn't use it in cooking, we used it as a condiment because it's more expensive.
Yes.
But then now, you know, if we don't have sriracha,
it's
sriracha,
available.
It's a good. It's a good substitution, and it's delicious. So
yeah, it's really delicious. I could put that on everything.
Yeah.
Chili crisp on everything. It's good on eggs. It's good on rice. It's good on everything.
Oh. My brother used to put barbecue sauce on oatmeal.
What?
He loved it, and I think
he's
insane. I know. I think he was just proving a point, and he was like, you know, a tween when he did it.
Yeah.
Look at me. That was
not a recipe suggestion.
No, not at all.
Oh my God.
Oh, I am gonna get fired, aren't I? I love this place.
We'll miss you, Linda. You know, you said that when you were stir frying, that you add some water.
Yes, yes.
And that makes me, that reminds me that I discovered in reading a recipe for what would seem like a very simple salad that's very famous from the restaurant that it's from, and it's really just 5 different kinds of lettuce.
Oh, wow.
And a vinaigrette, that the vinaigrette actually has water added to it, and I never tried that before.
Oh, you know what? I do that when I find that my dressing is too pungent.
Yes.
And then I don't want it sweet. I don't want to add something sweet to it to tone it down that way.
Yeah.
I do it with water.
I have never put water in there. I've put like a dollop of apple juice. There's a variety of things that I have added to it.
It sounds like it's not cheating, but that it's like a lame thing to do, you know,
but
add
it's
water.
Not.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
No, I know. And the other thing that this calls for, it's a pretty standard vinaigrette in that there's a minced shallot in there that gets rinsed in cold water before it's added.
So it's not too shallot-y.
Yeah.
My grandma always did that with red onions.
See, and I never do that.
Okay.
But I think that that's a really good... I'm going to do this dressing because I almost exclusively make vinaigrettes for salad because they're fast, easy, and I always have some ingredients that'll work.
Yeah.
But this particular one was a minced and rinsed shallot, a couple of tablespoons. They're using 2 tablespoons and a teaspoon of sherry vinegar, but, you know, vinegar of your choice. Mm-hmm. I almost always grab the white wine vinegar, but sometimes red wine, sometimes balsamic. It's I have a big shelf of vinegars.
Yeah.
It's like It's like the mustards, you know? Yeah, yeah, I have way too many. Anyway, that was the other thing that was interesting to me about this, because it has a tablespoon of warm water in it, olive oil, obviously, and then two kinds of mustard, half Dijon and half whole grain mustard, which I will alternate using, but I've never thought of putting them together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I like that idea. And then this one has honey and fresh thyme and clove of grated garlic, salt, and pepper.
I'm interested that it has water and honey, because I usually use one or the other to make it less pungent, but not both.
Yeah. Huh. I've never added water, but I almost always add honey or agave or... Mm-hmm. Or a
jam. You
jelly.
Taught me that
yeah,
one. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But I'm definitely going to try this one, because it has all of these rave reviews from food critics for the restaurant.
Okay.
So
and they just do it with different kinds of lettuce.
Yeah, they use five different kinds of lettuce that they wash the leaves of. They separate into leaves and wash them three times.
I wonder why.
Because I'll tell you why.
They're grown in a mud pit?
Five carefully chosen types of lettuce are all triple washed to yield what Williams called a super happy salad.
Okay.
So I have 86 to my, well, I didn't throw it away, but I moved it on into the great, whoever wants this, take it, salad spinner.
Really? Because I think that's essential.
No. It takes up way too much room, and okay. It does one thing. It spins water off of stuff.
I know, but that's so important, because you get like a watery salad and it's awful.
Yeah, but you can dry your, you can get water off of your greens in a myriad ways, often using a common kitchen towel, clean kitchen towel, which takes up no room whatsoever.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just, I don't like it if it only does one thing.
So you're talking about that rinsing the shallots. So you know that old... thymy salad, which is so simple. It's basically just like sour cream and or mayonnaise and cucumbers and onions.
Yeah.
You know that one.
Yeah.
And dill and salt and pepper. So you soak the cucumbers, you cut them up and you soak them in salt water. But then my grandma would always take the onions, slice them, and then you put them in a bowl of water and then you squeeze them. Squeeze them, squeeze them, squeeze them. You just go through with your hands, squishy, 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 and then drain them. And that's how she would make them. The pungent is the word today. Less pungent.
Less pungent.
And it worked. I mean, it worked.
That's great.
So if you didn't have...
It's like massaging your kale.
Yeah, yeah. If you didn't have, really... What are the sweet onions?
The
Walla Walla.
Yeah, if you didn't...
Or
Vidalia or whatever.
Yeah, in the 1950s have Walla Walla onions in the middle of the winter.
Remember
in
when
Minnesota.
We only had, like... three colors of
and yellow, they're so strong. But if you do that and you squeeze them and squeeze them and squeeze them, then they're okay. But she would usually use red onions.
I've had opportunity to have the yellow the cucumbers that are round and yellow, what do you call
are they lemon ones?
Lemon cucumbers, so good, especially in just the sliced sweet onions and cucumbers in a vinegar,
Okay. Like. You know that thing, how I hate bitter melon? It is the thing I hate most in the world. It's a Chinese thing. But sometimes those lemon ones are too close to bitter melon. And do you know what they had at, Spring Up Farm had a stand at the Sunday market. Did you see them there? They had these cucamelons.
No.
So they were about the size of like one joint of your finger, maybe even, about that size. They were very tiny. And they looked like the world's smallest watermelon. That's what they look like.
Oh.
Yeah. But they were, and so she had them in little half pint little containers. And, but Sam was there and I'm like, so are these sort of like bitter melon? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, so I didn't try them, but now I wish I had.
Oh, I didn't see them.
Yeah. Cucamelons. So cute. And I saw that Busu had them on their menu. They had put them in something.
Okay.
So
I like bitter melon. I'll eat yours for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to take a quick sec and let everybody know that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web. And as I always do, I strongly urge you to go to northcoastfoodweb.org and KMUN.org and rummage around in those fabulous websites and be happy you did, because they're chock full of interesting and useful information.
Yay.
Yeah. So it's fall.
I know. Squash is everywhere, which is really cool.
It's like overnight, there's squash everywhere.
Yeah. Hey, so, I'm not going to remember the word. Oh, yeah, I do. So I'm reading on the internet, which never lies, but yes. It was somebody talking about squash, and she was upset because she bought some squash from a farmer, and it wasn't cured. She asked the farmer if it was cured, and she said it wasn't cured, or it was cured, and then it wasn't. She said, I did the fingernail test. Have you ever heard of that?
I never heard of curing a squash.
Me either, and I wonder...
What's wrong with them that they need to be cured?
I think it has something to do with making it so you can store it a long time.
Oh.
But maybe I should have looked it up so I could talk intelligently about it.
Don't be setting those kinds of precedents, you know.
This is the show where we
step up.
This is the show where we just ask questions.
Oh my God.
She said she was upset that they weren't cured. How could she cure them now? It was too cold outside, you know, something like that. So,
okay.
So I don't know what that was, but I've never heard of that.
It may be, it makes sense that it might be a preparation for storage, but I have stored winter squash, like hard shell squash, forever doing nothing to them. Now, perhaps had it before me.
Yeah, I think
cured it.
The farmer or whoever had it before, I think they have to do something temperature wise.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like having it, you know, brought down or uh-huh. sort of like how you harden things when you bring them up, you know.
Right.
It's kind of the same sort of thing. But I am just making that up. I am stringing words together that are only that.
Well, now you've started something, and we need to. Maybe you could purchase a squash cure and then just like rub it on them.
I'm going
to
sell them. I'll make a million. www.lindaskickstarter.com. Squash cure.
I am pretty excited about the fact that it's citrus season. We're going into citrus season.
Oh, yeah.
So many. I mean, we're starting to see. We're coming out of that midsummer where if you want a Valencia orange, you're in good shape, but anything else, you're out of luck. You can usually get a grapefruit, but now we're getting multiple kinds of oranges, and it'll only get better. I just love that. Is one of the things I really look forward to in winter is all kinds of apples and all kinds of citrus.
Boy, the apples are good this year.
They are so good, and we have got people. Local people growing apples that you can't often, strains that you don't often see anymore, old-fashioned ones like Gravensteins and that kind of thing, yellow transparents, that kind of thing. I really like being able to have something.
Yeah, we have a Gravenstein tree, and there's just so many. I mean, just every day it's a five-gallon bucket or two, and people take them away, and then you just don't even notice. It doesn't
you
even
must
look
have
like
deer.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Yeah.
They're fence? What fence?
Because we're not the only ones that are happy about apples.
Yeah. And we get coyotes in the yard this time of year. It's so interesting. But I remember one year we had a dozen, for real 12, before 9:30 in the morning. And they come in and they're there for the apples. It took us so long to figure it out. But they're very, you know, they're very skittish, and they look around and look around. And then they don't like grab an apple like a dog would grab a ball. They put their face, their whole face sideways on the ground, open their mouth and grab the apple that way, and then they run away, and they all do that. They all put their face all the way down on the ground sideways and then grab the apple sideways and go.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Style points.
Yeah. I wonder who invented that in the coyote world. But they
I
all
don't
do
know.
It.
Is that because you can keep an eye on something?
I don't know.
That
could be, but you'd think you could keep an eye on if you just lowered your head a little.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. That's really interesting. And it's interesting to me that they're coming for the apples.
You'd think they'd come for Dale. He doesn't move very fast. You know, just look what we have. We can eat on it for a week.
Oh, that's grizzly.
Sorry. You know how we were talking about squash?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a sauce that I will sometimes, like maybe once a year, use for squash. And I like it, but it's, not diet.
Yeah,
that's probably why we use it once a year, but I think it's really delicious, and it's a brown butter sage maple sauce.
Oh,
yeah, it's really good. And I wonder, the seven of you out there, if any of you have browned butter before, because it's a really good thing to know how to do. So you put some butter, and this calls for a stick of butter. So you take a tiny pan, a little saucepan, and you put the butter in there, and you put it over maybe medium heat, and it'll melt. And then after a while, it'll melt, and then it'll start to like sizzle and sputter and sizzle and sputter and sizzle and sputter. And it does that for, you know, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes. And then what it does is it's quiet, no more sizzling noise, and it starts to foam. And that's when it starts to brown. And it foams and it kind of like gains volume, the foam grows. And you can see in the middle where it comes up that it's starting to like be brown, you know. So I use a silicone spatula and I move it around because it's just like making caramel. You have to be brave, but not stupid. So you move it around and you want it to be brown, but it's all the little milk solid pieces that are browning, but you don't want it to be super dark brown or black. And so you just have to go. And then whatever you're going to put it on has to be ready because you have to pour it on, because if you leave it in that pan, it's going to burn like in 5 seconds, really. So that's how you brown butter. But this is a recipe that uses brown butter. So what I do is I have the other stuff ready in a little bowl. And that is just 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, just a teaspoon of cinnamon, a bunch of fresh sage leaves, so maybe 20, and I cut them up, and then a little bit of pepper, like maybe half a teaspoon of pepper. And then I have my squash all cooked, and I usually roast it in the oven in little squares so it has those little dark brown, you know, burnty corners that I just love so much. So I've got that all roasted, and then what I do is I brown the butter, and then rather than putting the stuff in the pan with the butter, I put the butter in my metal, very heat-proof bowl, because the butter is very, very hot, a lot hotter than you think it should be, and mix it up so that I'm not burning, you know, the cinnamon and the maple syrup and the leaves. And then I pour that on the squash. Ooh. But it's really delicious.
It sounds really delicious.
Yeah. It's something that I'll make often for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. It's very autumny. But that just sounds delicious. And I could imagine that sauce on like a pork tenderloin.
Yeah, I think it was a recipe originally written for gnocchi.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it would be great with gnocchi. Yeah. I was digging around in this basket I have on my counter that where I toss packages of pasta and anything like that, rice.
I got a box like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I was digging around for something very specific last night because I wanted to make mac and cheese and I wanted elbow macaroni, which is my husband's favorite.
Aww.
And there wasn't any, but there was other pasta. And I'm digging around and I found a package of shelf-stable gnocchi that I forgot I had. And that sounds like a really good reason for me to deal with that. I should deal with that.
Deal with it. Do you ever make gnocchi?
I had never have. Yeah. And I've seen, you know, I especially am intrigued with Ina Garten's gnocchi that she does with sweet potatoes or butternut squash. And really beautiful.
That would be so good with that sauce.
Yes.
Yeah. I never thought about making it with sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
But no, I don't make it just because the making the one thing at a time, the little...
Oh, my God.
I know. Sorry.
Well, and there are cheats, you know, where you just like roll it out into long...
and slice them up like you would like little pieces of candy. Chop, 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 chop.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier than rolling it down a fork or if you have a... If you have a gnocchi tool that you roll it down and it comes out all grooved and everything, then you are either a person who gets gifts from people who know nothing about you, or you are a person who actually makes gnocchi.
A rock star. And then I'm pretty sure if you came to the station and you said you wanted to be on Food Talk, they would fire me and you could have the spot. I'm pretty sure.
You are in no danger. Stop now. Seriously. I will say on the opposite side of that, worrying about being fired, is there is no gold watch at the end of 50 years. None. So, you know, we're very well balanced here. No fear and no prize.
Yay. Yeah. I should embroider that on an apron and maybe I'd remember to wear it. No fear, no prize.
We need to start embellishing. You have such a wide array of aprons, and we could put a different slogan on every single one.
You know, I've thought about that. I think the one that I most want is in the distance, sirens. Just because of, you know, I haven't set anything on fire in a long time, but there was a time in my life cooking that it was just When we lost.
Do you have a fire extinguisher in your kitchen?
Oh yeah, too. And I've been gifted them. That's how bad it was. when we lost our home in the storm of 2007, I always use oven gloves. I have a drawer right by the stove, and I use oven gloves. And you put them on your hands, and they have fingers, and they're Kevlar, and they work great. So, but then of course in the storm of 2007, when we lost our house, then. I lost those too. So we stayed in a farmhouse that some friends owned, and then it had everything that we needed, but it had pot holders. So, look at me. And it had pot holders, the house we were gifted in. Anyway, what I would always do, and I did this at least three times, is because the oven gloves weren't on my hand, I would use the pot holder and set it down, but I would set it on a burner.
Uh-huh.
And so I
was easy to do.
I was constantly just like running across from the stove to the sink to throw it in there and save our lives, you know, and not wreck two houses in 1 year.
Common mistake. I'd like a show of hands of everybody who's ever done that. Oh my gosh. Yes. Or I will set it on top of the hot toaster oven.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't catch fire, but it scorches real good.
Well, and how I learn is making mistakes. I know that about me, and it's why I don't can vegetables, because there's no room for making mistakes. You make a mistake and you kill your family. And that's how I learn. But because I had oven gloves and I'd had them for decades, you know, that wasn't a mistake that was on my radar. So, and I just wasn't very fast learning.
Did you replace all those pot holders before you left?
Yes.
I don't have oven gloves. I just have pot holders. I have oven mitts, but I don't ever use them because they're really clunky and not mitts. Not, you know, you don't have
without
any
the fingers.
Fingers.
Yeah, it's just like you feel like Gumby cooking.
Yeah, yeah. I have one oven mitt that's pristine. Never had anything spilled on it. That's how often I use it, and it's more used as a trivet for something hot.
Yeah.
But I just have a ton of pot holders, and they get old and really funky and have scorched marks and stain marks, and I just keep using them because, you know, nobody sees.
Yeah.
I'm seeing John Stevenson come into the house.
He's such a star. I love his show.
Yeah, coming up right after Linda and I leave you, and right after the top of the hour news is Lost Highways with John. So
he doesn't have to wear an apron. He doesn't have to remember anything.
I know. What the heck?
Do you have any plans of what you're going to cook this week?
Well, I need to go shopping. I'm out of everything, but I'd really like to do something with salmon. I'm in the mood.
Oh, yeah.
And I like to cook a little more salmon than we're going to eat at one meal. Or if Tom's not in the mood for salmon, I'll get a smaller piece. But I like to have it the next day to be able to do just like a rice veg bowl.
Or like a niçoise.
That's what
I do. When I'm purposely making more salmon than we're going to eat, that's what I have in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've always got a little bowl of hard-cooked eggs in the fridge because you never know.
Yeah.
And if I want to make the same old salad I've been making for night after night after night look a little different, you know, crisp bacon or chopped up egg and voila, brand new.
Poof.
Little chunks of blue cheese. Hey, you know what? We've got less than a minute left.
Aww.
I know. And next time I see you, it will be, we will be sliding into the holiday season for real.
Yeah.
You want to sing us out?
Yep. I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home. Yay!
Yay! We don't have a bushel of corn anymore.
I know. It's very sad. Yeah. We've got a bushel of squash and potatoes.
Yeah. We've got squash and potatoes and oranges.
Brazers. And big pots. No more little skillets.
Happy cooking, everybody. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. And Linda Perkins, thank you so much.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Let's go for the treat.